The federal government is giving the go-ahead for the biggest coal mine to ever be built in Australia, possibly the world. Green groups say the Carmichael Mega Mine in Queensland's Galilee Basin will increase dredging and shipping in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, drain local water supplies, and ultimately lead to the release of 130 million tonnes a year of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. But the Environment Minister, Greg Hunt, says he's imposed the strictest possible conditions on the project, which has the potential to provide electricity for up to 100 million people in India. Greg Hunt is speaking with political editor Alison Carabine.
Greg Hunt, good morning.
Good morning, Alison.
Minister, you have imposed 36 environmental conditions on Carmichael. You say they meet the highest possible environmental standards. But isn't it the case there is no condition any government can apply that would absolutely safeguard water supplies and the Great Barrier Reef?
Well, no, with great respect, this is a mine which is almost 500 kilometres inland in some of the most remote, some of the sparsest area in all of Australia. I don't know how you say that it has an impact on the reef. I also know that when this project's predecessor, the Alpha Mine, which was leased by the Bligh government and approved by the previous ALP government, was approved, the Green Group said virtually nothing. I think that all that was said by Greenpeace was unfortunate. So it appears that there's one rule for a Labor decision and another rule for a coalition government decision.
Well, Minister, a number of Green Groups are pointing out that the impact on the reef will be because the only way to ship out the coal is through the Great Barrier Reef. It's been estimated that an extra 450 ships will have to travel through the reef each year as a result of Carmichael. There will also have to be significant dredging in the reef to facilitate the expansion
of
infrastructure.
Your use of the term reef is false, incorrect and untrue. It's casual, it's uninformed, and it is false, incorrect and untrue the way you use that.
Well, that's what a number of Green groups, including Greenpeace, are saying this morning about your approval of the Carmichael mine.
You just repeat the words of Greenpeace as if they are true.
Okay.
Isn't that a little embarrassing?
Well, Minister, how will Adani, the owners of Carmichael, transport the coal from this particular mine? How will they do that?
I think that what we need to do here is set out the history. Some years ago, the Queensland Labor government decided to open up the Galilee Basin. There was almost no response from the Green groups to that. Some years ago, the Queensland Labor government allocated leases in that area, including to GVK, which is an Indian-based group, which was then approved as the Alpha Mine by the previous Labor government. The sole extent of response from Greenpeace at that time were the words unfortunate as reported. And indeed, I look back at what the ABC reported, none of this discussion about the things you've just raised for the same process, going through the same assessments and the same outcomes.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Labor governments at both the state and federal level were involved in this process in previous years. You clearly have a beef with Greenpeace, which is fine, but a number of Australians would be concerned.
No, it's just that you're repeating their words as if they're fact.
Well, I'm putting them to you, Minister, and you've got every opportunity to respond to what groups like Greenpeace are saying.
Sure. So the answer here is that having visited the site and having gone with the head of the Independent Expert Scientific Committee, it's almost 500 kilometres west of the coast. It's an area which is dry, sparsely vegetated. By any definition, it's extraordinarily remote. And if you see the site from the air, you realise that this is in the middle of deep outback Australia. It is nowhere near the coast. It is an extraordinarily dry and sparse area. It is lightly vegetated. And according to the federal environmental laws, we've still put 36 of the strictest, toughest conditions that have ever been imposed.
Now, the concern is for the local water supply, not necessarily for the vegetation in the area. Adani will be required to return a minimum 730 megalitres to the Great Artesian Basin every year for 5 years. That's one of the conditions you have imposed on Adani. But how much water will the project be taking out of the basin and surrounding rivers in the first place? Won't it be a lot more than the 730 megalitres? Some estimates go as high as 12 billion litres, and that's one of the biggest concerns about this project.
Well, again, this is another figure from Greenpeace and other groups. What we see here is that we're likely to see a very significant reintroduction of water. It was not necessary under federal environmental law to impose the $730 megalitre figure on the project. We discussed it. I raised it with the company. I argued that I thought it was an important contribution to the local and regional environment to effectively restart a program that was discontinued under the ALP, which is the Great Artesian Basin initiative. And so we have put that in, even though it wasn't a technical requirement under the federal law, because I wanted to make sure that there was a benefit to the regional environment and a benefit to the regional community, because sometimes they can miss out. Although, of course, there will be, I understand, 3,000 jobs created during construction, 4,000 almost 4,000 on a permanent basis going forward.
So there's definitely economic benefits from this project, but I return to that question, how much water will Adani be taking out of the local water supply in the construction phase of this project and indeed once it's up and running?
Well, there'll be a final water modelling which is done during the course of the project, and it can't proceed without that. But all up, what we're seeking to do is to ensure that there is minimal, if any, impact, and that's where the 730 million litres comes in, that it's about making sure that we are making good on the overall issue. So in terms of the groundwater management, what we have to do now is to ensure that there is a final modelling, that this is a prerequisite before there is further program, before there's further progress.
Minister, I hate to rush you, but we are going to have to leave this soon. The Carmichael mine has been branded a carbon bomb. It will emit up to an estimated 130 million tonnes of carbon dioxide every year for 60 years. Your direct action policy would reduce emissions by about 131 million tonnes. Doesn't this show that direct action will do next to nothing to abate carbon in net terms? We've only got about 40 seconds to go.
We're about reducing emissions in Australia. That was our task and our target to achieve our Australian reductions. In terms of overseas, what we have to do is work towards a good global agreement. And I think that is exactly what we'll do. We'll achieve our targets in Australia and work towards a good global agreement. And of course, the same thing applies to decisions of the previous government. Again, there was a wall of silence from green groups when the ALP made similar decisions in a similar area.
And won't you need to revise direct action to take account of the Carmichael mega mine?
No. All possible reasonable growth in Australia's emissions was accounted for, and in fact we're tracking below what we had predicted as the likely future path.
Minister, thanks so much for joining RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Ali.
Environment Minister Greg Hunt with Alison Carabine, our political editor.